This is a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Frozen 2, one of the biggest animated movies of all time, and now there's a new six-part documentary series, Into the Unknown, Making Frozen 2. It's coming to Disney Plus Friday, June 26th. Joining me right now is Mallory Walters, an animator on Frozen 2 and profiled on this docuseries. Mallory, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackson. I'm more than honored to be here.
Frozen 2 has had such an impact on families, especially during this time, and now everybody getting a chance to see how it was made, the final year of production on Frozen 2. How was it being interviewed and profiled while you're in the middle of making one of the most highly anticipated movies of all time?
That's a really good question. It was tricky. I think there's definitely a different feeling when you have a camera in your face, but also the feeling of wanting to be authentic on camera and really show what it was really like to be working on film. And I've had a chance to see the documentary, and I am really, really happy with the way that they portrayed everybody. Obviously, we can't get all of the information out there, but they did a really good job of highlighting all the departments and just showing how much work, how difficult it is to make an animated feature film, especially Frozen 2, after we already had Frozen 1 be such a huge success. So there was a lot of pressure to make Frozen 2 really, really strong for the audience. So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and I was surprised in watching the first three episodes were available to reporters and critics in advance. I was surprised how much stuff was like saved to the end. I mean, major decisions were made towards the end. I mean, were you nervous at all about were you really going to make the November deadline?
Yes and no. The longer you're in the feature film industry, the more you realize how movies are made. Almost always follow that formula. It's almost always that difficult. It's almost always right up until the end. And I really trust the leadership at Disney. I trust Jen and Chris. And so while there was, of course, a worry, it wasn't necessarily a worry of whether or not we were going to get it done. It was whether or not our audiences were really truly going to connect with the film in the way that we wanted them to. And I think it was pretty successful.
Yeah. And you, we meet you in episode one of Into the Unknown, Making Frozen 2. And you talk about doing some of the Into the Unknown sequence, the sequence in the film when Elsa sings this song. You had never animated Elsa before. So what we see it in there, but what kinds of pressure were you under?
Oh, man. The funny thing is I requested to be on that sequence because I wanted more than anything. I loved that song, and it was stuck in my head way before it was stuck in your head, just so you know. But I just loved this song, and it was such a powerful, beautiful song. And so I requested to be a part of it. And then the reality comes in when you do get cast on the sequence of like, I need to deliver on this and I need to do a good job. And I had a lot of fire under my butt to make it really, really good. And of course, there's always things that I look back on that I wish that I could make better, but I don't think anybody else will see the things that I see. but yeah, I felt a lot of pressure, but I also felt so honored. And I was riding to and from work with a giant smile on my face every day. And it was a blast to work on. It was very difficult. I learned so much. And there was so much collaboration that went into making that shot what it became, like that moment of the end of the film when she's running up the cliff and reaches. And I'm really proud of everyone who was able to give me their input and just everything that made that moment come together in the film. And it's like that for every single moment of the film, too. It's everybody giving their all constantly.
Yeah, I can tell how much of an honor it was for you. And you say in one of the episodes of the docuseries that kids and adults are going to be mimicking and watching this sequence over and over again, which I think they already have. How about your friends and family members? Have they been watching it over and over again and want to make sure they see the moments that you contributed to it?
Yes. Oh, man. Actually, it's so fun because I have my nieces and nephews. My sister Nicole is always sending me videos of her kids. They sing in the living room to all of the Frozen songs, and it's so cute to see them mimic the things that that I animated or that my fellow animators animated. And I mean, that's just my family sending me videos. I can imagine if kids all over the world, and even when they, you know, if a Broadway, you know, they did Frozen 1 on Broadway, and, you know, you see some of the same movements. And I even had that thought, is like, if this ever were to go to like Broadway, they might even replicate what I'm creating here too. So it's kind of crazy, the chain reaction of events when you throw an idea out there and everyone around you helps to make something beautiful with it. And so yeah, it's been really rewarding. I'm so excited for people to see the documentary.
Oh yeah, and it's interesting you bring up Broadway, because what this docuseries shows is that you will go to great lengths, whether it is running down the street or doing the different facial expressions on another sequence we'll get to make sure these characters look as good and authentic as possible. Because you like acting out moments so freely, were you ever interested in being like a stage or a film actress?
So I did something that it was called Color Guard for 10 years. So I did dance growing up, and Color Guard is not very well known, but it's spinning flags and rifles and sabers. And I did drum corps for 1 year. And so I think performing has always been in my blood, and it's definitely a reason why I got into animation. A huge reason why I wanted to be an animator. I think the acting part, the getting behind camera and being able to feel what the characters are feeling and just dig into the empathy inside of you has always been something that I've loved. I don't have a great singing voice, so I can't really see myself on Broadway, but I love animating. I love bringing characters to life, and I love being able to, the beauty of animation that makes Broadway so different is I wouldn't be able to go on to Broadway and play like Olaf or, you know, Kristoff or, you know, but the beauty of it is from Walt Disney Animation Studios, I'm able to be whoever I want to be. Like I can animate Kristoff, I can animate Sven. So it allows me to kind of jump into the skin of a different character and think in a different way. And that's been amazing. I wouldn't give this job up.
Oh yeah, no, pretty much everybody I've talked with over the years about animation wants to stay in animation and loves it as, you know, as much as possible. One of the other sequences you were a part of is the 80s power ballad Lost in the Woods. It has been very well received since Frozen 2 came out in November. You worked on one of those moments with all the reindeer heads, and we see you do all the facial expressions of what the reindeer heads would be with Kristoff there. How many times did the melody of that song and like those specific, you know, seconds of that play in your head over and over again as far as like getting into it when you were working on this?
Oh boy. I mean, we listened to those tracks over and over again. The beauty of it is that it was a song. That song was always constant. Any song that you work on is just stuck in your head constantly. You're just like humming it in the shower and on your way to work. And while you're working, you're humming it and singing it. And you could easily say thousands of times that moment played over. The harder part is when you're doing like a quick sequence of dialogue or something, and you're listening to that playing over again. And it's like, over there, over there, over there. You know, it's like, oh, and it gets really old. So being on a nice chunk of a beautiful song is actually really nice.
Yeah.
It was great. One of the things that wasn't featured in the docuseries was I got to work with one of the music editors. He was able to separate all the tracks out for me of Jonathan Groff singing each and every part, because Jonathan Groff sang, you see in the documentary that he sings every single part. Mm. But it was so fun listening to all those different parts, and I was able to single out each track in my scene. So I could animate one specific reindeer singing one part and then the other reindeer singing another part. And they even made it true in stereo. So the reindeers on the right that are singing a certain melody, like there was la, la, and then there was la, la.
Right.
So that, you know, that is even in stereo. So the higher notes are, if you had headphones on, you'd hear it on the right side, which is where the, I'm probably swapping and I don't remember exactly how it was, but that's how much detail they go into to make it feel real. And
yeah,
it's really cool.
And to get those details right, you got to do what you got to do. That's great. That's great. Mallory Walters is my guest right now in the LCJ Q&A, animator on Frozen 2. I'm from New York, so I had the chance to visit Walt Disney Animation Studios for the first time in January, because there was a short circuit event, those short circuit shorts that are now on Disney Plus. There was a media day for that. And so I'm watching this Frozen 2 docuseries, and I'm like, oh, I went in that room. I got to walk down that hallway. I got to see all this. I mean, the people are going to be surprised about the unprecedented access that viewers get to see of Walt Disney Animation Studios. And in one of the rooms, you have to present what you've done to Chris Bucket and Jennifer Lee. And it seems like there was a lot of pressure in those moments as well, because I remember being in that room and I'm like, I can feel what you're feeling, you know, being in those rooms.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And it's not because Chris and Jen are intimidating people themselves. They're very open and easy to talk to once you get talking, but there's something about bringing your work into a dark, silent room full of people from all kinds of different departments, and your supervisors are there, and your head of animation is there, and the head of effects is there, and the head of layout is there, and they're all watching your work, and you're putting yourself out there for critique. There's rarely any jobs where you're being critiqued on your work every single day, and with animation, we receive feedback daily on our work, so we're constantly in our heads about, you know, did I do this right? Did I do that right? That looks, you know, and we're also having to show work that's not completed. It's in a rough form, because we have to show early and show often, because if we're going down the wrong path, they want to correct that so we don't waste a ton of time polishing a turd, basically. So yeah, it's totally nerve-wracking in those rooms. And sometimes I go in there, I find that whenever I go in there with any sort of confidence, it gets squashed really quickly. And so I, you know, sometimes you got to check yourself too, because you'll have like a really good shot and it'll go really smooth. And you'll be like, man, I feel like such a good animator right now. Like, I'm doing so good. And then you get onto the next shot and every shot is different. Even though I had never animated Elsa, I had also never animated Elsa running up a cliff and reaching and singing. Mm. So even if I had animated Elsa, it still would have been very difficult, because every shot is a new challenge. It's a brand new action that you're doing. You're creating movement to sell life from the ground up, and it's an illusion of life. And so it's really challenging, and it's honestly why the job is so rewarding, because you never stop pushing yourself. There's so much to learn, and everyone around you has that same mentality. The people you look up to the most are still trying to learn and grow constantly, and those are some cool people to be around.
Another big Disney animated movie sequel that you got to work on was Ralph Breaks the Internet. And I was so impressed at how much that film kind of elevated off of the first one in terms of visuals and all the cool things they did, but also the emotional depth of the film. What were some of the specific things you worked on with Ralph?
Ralph was my first my first feature film at Disney. It was my first job. I worked on it for 4 months, so I was only on it for the back half of the production, so I don't have as much work in that. But one of the, I guess, more notable moments that I worked on was a very small section of shots at the end of the movie when the princesses are working to save Ralph as he's falling. And like Rapunzel's like, a big strong man in need of rescuing. Like, that's what starts that whole little montage off. I didn't do that shot. I did the shot when Aurora is spinning on her wheel, and then Merida pulls the arrow up and shoots Gus and Jacques on the arrow, and Gus giggles, and then the arrows kind of land on the other side and the princesses kind of flop. That was probably the funnest moment I got to work on, because getting to resurrect characters like Gus and Jacques and animate them in 3D when they hadn't been animated in 3D was so cool. And I got to do a lot of studying of Cinderella for that and try and pull as much inspiration as I could from the original film. And that was an awesome moment.
Sure, yeah, it was a big deal when the sequences were starting to come out and the Vanellope princess scene was starting to come out. People were like, wow, diehard Disney fans, their minds were blown when some of that was coming out, so that is really nice. And before you came to Disney, you worked on several Blue Sky Studios films, Peanuts movie, Ferdinand, Spies in Disguise. Now, Spies came out a month after Frozen 2, so was some of your work on that a couple years ago before you came over to Disney?
So I did work on Spies in Disguise, but I actually don't have any work that made it to the screen. There was a lot of story changes in the work that I did on the shot on the movie. I did do some pre-production work for it, but I was a character lead with another animator on a character named Gambolina, who was eventually cut from the film. So I think all my work kind of got cut from that. But that's, you know, I wasn't on the movie for too long, I think probably 4 months or something, and it was kind of a slower period of time. And I did do some pigeon animation tests with Lance, but those won't get to see the light of day. But that's okay. But Ferdinand was a blast to work on, and
sweet movie. Really sweet. Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. Peanuts movie too, really, really sweet, heartwarming. When I was at Disney Animation back in January, there were little snippets and little teasers about Raya and the Last Dragon being thrown around there. Are you involved in Raya, or is there anything you can tell me about that?
Yes, I'm animating her right now. I don't know what I can say beyond the fact that, I mean, any other public info that's out there, we haven't gotten to release a trailer yet for it. So I'm currently animating Raya right now. That's probably... I can say that I'm very excited for this movie, and I think people will love it.
That's great. That's wonderful. That's just what we want to hear. That's fantastic. So, Mallory, during this at-home period, this time we've all been experiencing, the world of Frozen has kind of been bigger than ever. I mean, not just with this docuseries, Frozen 2 going to Disney Plus early, and all the new Olaf shorts, which, you know, so impressed that they were able to happen, and with Josh Gad's involvement in them. What's an idea for a future Frozen adventure or a sequence or something that you would like to animate if this franchise continues in some way, shape, or form?
Oh, wow. That's a really hard question. Man, I really loved the vignettes. They were so cute. One of my favorite parts about Frozen 2 is the charades sequence, when they're just playing charades at home. And I think the reason why the vignettes are so awesome to watch is it's just a glimpse into Olaf's life outside of the film. You know, when we're in the film, there's a story, there's a mission, and sometimes it's really fun just to slow down and be able to see these characters just in their everyday life. And I think that is probably something that would excite me.
Yeah, that sequence towards the beginning of Frozen 2 is very funny, with Olaf in all the different familiar positions, like a certain mouse being a part of that as well. That's really great. Mallory Walters, thank you for being on the LCJ Q&A today. Congrats on all the success with Frozen 2 and this docuseries on Disney Plus, and best wishes to you.
Thank you so much, Jackson.
You're welcome. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. For more, check out lights-camera-jackson.com. Follow me on Twitter at LCJ Reviews and Instagram at LightsCamJackson. Into the Unknown, Making Frozen 2, the 6-part docuseries, debuts Friday, June 26th on Disney Plus. I'm Lights Camera Jackson.